Blog Talk Radio.
But
since you've been watching all that stuff, I'll ask you the quick question. Jordan, LeBron, one-on-one, who wins? Jordan, Kobe, one-on-one, who wins?
I think LeBron gets up early because Jordan kind of, I don't want to say takes him for granted, but he kind of, you know, he goes into it as cocky as he always does. LeBron probably gets up 3-0, 4-0, and he never scores another point. I think Mike just annihilates Kobe because he needs him to understand that even though you have 5 rings, you are still not a tenth of the player that I was at my prime.
Wow. We completely disagree.
I guess it's because you're a Kobe fan, man. Kobe is no Michael Jordan.
He's not, but he is an offensive wizard, and I think Jordan would have a lot of trouble stopping him.
Because Michael Jordan's DNA is all over Kobe Bryant's game. So he tries to fade away on Jordan, he's going to stuff the shot back in his face. He's going to try to back Jordan down, and you know, Jordan is going to push him like that old time he used to always do the youngster. Just stop this.
Well, I tell you what, when I get to heaven, this is one of the first things I expect to see on my television.
That would be an interesting thing.
Yeah, it would.
So we had a real good show lined up tonight. You ready?
To us.
And I ask you if you're ready because, one, we're debuting something. You know, I get excited every time we debut something on the Neo Soul Show, but I know that I'm expecting excitement from you because a part of what we're debuting, especially tonight, is a favorite of yours.
This is true.
So I remember long, long time ago, maybe more than 6 months ago, we had the Chancellor of Soul, Mike Boone, on the Neo Soul Show. We were blessed to have him on with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talked to him about soul music, classic soul music, neo-soul music. You know, he explained to us what he does, how he was dubbed the name, the Chancellor of Soul. And, you know, he would chronicle the journey of artists and bands from, you know, the early 40s, 50s, and into the 60s. And you and Mike got into a very good conversation, and you mentioned that Tammy Terrell was one of your favorite artists.
Yes, she is.
And you said, we would love to have you back on, Mike, just so I could pick your brain about some soul artists.
Hmm.
Little did we know that all this time later, that small seed that the Q... See, ladies and gentlemen, that's what Q-Man does. He plants these small seeds. Everyone else around him waters them, and then he baths in the fruits of their labor.
Correct. I have a large seed planter, but I do plant very small.
So that seed that was planted a long time ago tonight... It is growing, and we are calling this the Wednesday Rewind. So every third Wednesday of the month, we are going to be blessed by the presence of the Chancellor of Soul, Mr. Mike Boone, and we are going to spotlight a classic soul artist. And Mike thought that tonight, and I don't even know if he remembered that she was your favorite artist, but tonight we are spotlighting Tammy Terrell.
That's what I'm talking about. One of the greatest.
So again, I ask you, are you excited?
Extremely excited, because if Tammy was here today, you wouldn't be talking about Beyonce.
Okay, we wouldn't be talking about Beyonce. Who else would we not? Would we at least be talking about Alicia?
No.
Wow. Not her either.
Well, you know I'm not an Alicia Keys fan anyway.
I'm just gonna keep it real because, unfortunately, and normally I do know these artists and people that y'all talk about. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little raw. I'm a little fresh. I'm a little young.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to Tammy Terrell, I know that Tammy and Marvin did a very, very classic song. That's about all I know. Not going to sit here and front like I know a whole lot of songs that she's done.
T-Mitch.
Not at all.
T-Mitch.
Yeah.
They did classic songs together. And you do know that they're the two that sang You're All I Need.
Yes, that's the song that I was talking about.
And Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Did not know that.
The Greatest Love. I could go on and on. And they're probably the greatest duo of all time. But, you know, this is just my opinion. So I don't want to get all, you know, I get very hyped up when I start talking about Family Girl and Sammy and Marvin. So I'm just.
Well, like I said, very young. So I know tonight will be a night where, you know, Mike Boone will definitely be educating myself. I see the Mighty Ox in the chat room. He'll be learning a little bit. Shout out to Sister Sweet in the chat room. Shout out to everybody that's listening and everybody that's in the chat room, because at some point during tonight's show, we are giving away a $25 iTunes gift card. And hopefully, you know, you go get some music that touches your soul with this gift card.
You didn't tell me we were giving something away.
Well, I found out recently myself, because, you know, I was just focused on, you know, making sure that Mike was on and that we had all the music that we needed to have. And let me tell you, we got a lot of music that we can play tonight. And I was getting all of that together and Twitter and making sure our following was listening. And I happened to catch the Facebook post that we were giving, you know, the gift card away. And, you know, when you get settled and you get in the chat room, you can help figure out how we're going to give that away. But we are giving away a $25 gift card tonight.
And I can't win it, right?
And Sister Sweet just said in the chat room, Q-Man, you can't win the gift card.
Why does she know me like
that? I don't know. But what I know.
Can my mom?
Your mom could win the gift card. I just don't know how she's going to win the gift card. But I do know we have to figure out how that's going to be won, because the people in the chat room have a chance to win the gift card. And we may just open the phone lines also for people to call in for a chance to win the gift card. So as soon as that all gets figured out, we'll let you guys know. But we are definitely giving away a $25 gift card tonight. I think it should be some Tammy Terrell trivia, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's her night, it's about her, and we are about to get educated and blessed on even more information about her. So I think that should be how the people can get the gift card. And, you know, whether it's somebody that answers in the chat room, hits us on the Twitter, or, you know, call in. You know, we have things to give away, but, you know, we'll figure that out.
Okay.
So you good, man? You ready? Anything else you wanna get out the way? You wanna say before we bring on the Chancellor of Soul?
No. I think I'm good. I think.
You think?
Yeah, I'm good to go tonight.
Well, I do have one thing that I wanna make sure that I mention right now, and then mention again later on the show. Our CEO sent an email that he wanted to make sure that we mentioned on the show about an upcoming event for XCDO.
Sure.
And it's the Neo Soul Brunch Saturdays, powered by XCDL.com. It's going to be Saturday, March 30th, 2013, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Bellagio Entertainment Center, which is formerly known as Brooklyn, at 1701 South Lamar in Dallas, Texas. It's $15 in advance for your tickets, $20 at the door, featuring an artist showcase contest, entrepreneurs forum, and DJ J Clip in the mix. You know it's a fun event when they say in the mix.
In the mix.
To purchase tickets, go to the website neosoulbrunchsaturday.eventbrite.com, and Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E. Or you can contact our CEO Ray Ferrell at 972-800-6857. That is a brave man right there.
Yes, it is.
So that's what I'll probably, I'm most likely going to give the information again later in the show. But right now, I think right now is as good a time as any to begin our Wednesday rewind with our chat about the great Tammy Terrell.
Yeah.
So let's bring Mike Bowen on the line. I do believe this is Mike right here. Mike, we got you on the line?
I'm right here.
The dancer.
How are you? Gentlemen, how are you? Have,
what's going
how you
on,
doing?
Man?
Everything is great. Everything is great. How about you guys?
Oh, everything is good.
You
everything is good. And it's definitely good having you back now. And we've been trying, we've been looking for a reason and trying to really figure out how we were going to work this out for months now.
Wow. Well, it's a pleasure to be back on. I enjoyed the last time.
Yeah, man. And we get to talk about somebody that's extremely close to my heart.
Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, Tammy is definitely the lady, you know. Definitely Motown's lady there, you know. She was one of a kind. There's no question about it, you know. And definitely an inspiration to, as the artists that you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, Beyonce and Alicia Keys and different ones.
Mm-hmm.
Tammy is definitely, you know, a total inspiration, and I'm glad we're tributing to her tonight, since she has a birthday actually in the next few weeks.
Yes, she does. Now, I know you were listening. We talked about these other women and Sandy was around.
Mm-hmm. You mean the ones you just mentioned a few minutes ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I felt. I told him she just had, she had everything. Looks, voice, talent, everything.
Oh, yeah. Yes, everything. Head to toe. Tammy had it. There's no question about it. Talent, sass, you name it. Tammy had
yep.
it. She definitely had it, you know. And the presence. Tammy mm-hmm. definitely had a presence. They said when she walked in a room, you know, it would just brighten up. You knew Tammy was there instantly, you know. So, you know, it was just more than just her talent. She just had a presence, you know. And Tammy could have done anything, basically.
Now, I also love the fact that since this is actually, it's just, he's not going to be able to add much to this conversation. And he's
no,
a know-it-all.
Listen, I'm going to do my best to be a part of this conversation. We have the internet. We have Google and all types of things. I will do my best. And, you know, I do feel like, despite my age, I am a connoisseur of music. So when I do, you know, start to hear songs, and especially as we get closer to the 60s and the 70s and the Motown sound, I'm pretty sure that I will have something to contribute to tonight's conversation.
That's right, G. Mitch. Way to stay in the game.
Definitely, now, definitely.
Her pop music back then was unparalleled. And there were two famous singers that she dated.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were both allegedly abusive towards her,
mm-hmm.
I will not listen to their music to this day.
No,
I guarantee you, T. Mitch, that the Chancellor of Soul knows these two singers.
Oh, you're asking me? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the first one was James Brown, of course. That's the infamous relationship,
yeah.
if you're talking about that.
Yep.
And afterwards, it was, you know, David Ruffin from the Temptations.
Yes.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those relationships are very infamous, you know, very
yeah.
famous relationships that the world knew, you know,
mm-hmm.
of. And, yeah, they were very, very, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, that it's kind of sad to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
It's eerie, you know, to listen to that Tammy would get involved in such relationships with these two gentlemen, you know.
Yeah.
And, but it, that was just part of the biz. She was in show business and, you know, she was just trying to make her mark, you know.
Right.
So yeah, those relationships are. Well, the first one with James Brown, it was very, very violent. You know, James Brown is. I just want to get one thing straight. James Brown was my first hero. Period. Musically speaking. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And got a chance to see him in his prime at the Apollo when I was a kid, you know, and saw the lines around the corner all through 8th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful entertainer, one of the greatest of the 20th century, you know, into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And very, you know, phenomenal, and another guy that had presence, you know, no question about it, and he was very influential. But he was a tyrant. At the same time, you know,
mm-hmm.
James Brown was a tyrant, and he wanted things done his way. That's it. And there was an infamous show they did at the Apollo with Gene Chandler,
mm-hmm.
The Duke of Earl Gene Chandler. They did together. And Tammy was supposed to come out on the stage, be in the wings when James came off. Now, this
mm-hmm.
was his directional. You followed as followed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Tammy was not in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
James was furious. And unfortunately, James, you know, beat her, you know, and beat her so bad into the dressing room. Until Gene Chandler, who she was, you know, friends with, she had asked Gene to call her parents, you know, put her on the bus, call her parents and tell her parents to meet her. So it was pretty bad. It was really, really bad. And she stayed with the Review. She got with the Review in 1962, because she was discovered at a club. James Brown saw her at a club. And she had just recorded her first recording, If You See Bill. You know, that was her recording on Wand Records. And it was a guy named Luther Dixon, a very famous producer, songwriter. Wrote for Shirelles and Chuck Jackson and a lot of famous tunes, The Platters, everybody. And he was a prominent producer, so he discovered her and brought her to Juan Scepter Records. This is Florence Greenberg's label here in New York. And she recorded her first recording, If You See Bill. That was her first solo.
Yep.
And she started doing a lot of demos for the Shirelles and Chuck Jackson, the different ones, you know. So they decided to record her solo, and that was her first one, yeah. And this was also during the time when she was promoting that, you know. She was dating Chuck. She was dating another gentleman, a debonair gentleman named Tommy Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
He made a song called Human, and he was with the legendary Flamingos, and he's also a friend of mine, too, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, you know. Also, so so this was around that time Tammy was trying to enhance her career. So that's where those, you know, stories come from.
See, Mitch, are you surprised that James Houston?
Yes and no, you know, because you know, growing up, that was never the perception of James Brown that we were shown, and so I'm not. I am surprised by that, but at the same time, you know, anybody at that height in a career or in some type of social status, there has to be some type of, for lack of a better word, I guess, madness that comes with, you know, that craft and that attention, and when you strive for perfection at your craft. So I guess in that sense, I'm not really surprised, but it's interesting. Definitely interesting. I knew about the David Ruffin thing. I knew that. Definitely didn't know the James. Definitely.
Now, what you interesting fact? Tight friendship that her and Mark Gay, and the impact of her death on Mark Gay. So I'm gonna let Mike talk about that. I get a little excited. We talk about Tammy Terrell.
Clearly.
I get a little excited, but I'm good. Okay. Back on you, Brother Chancellor.
What was the question? Because you kind of broke up there, your voice.
I was bringing up the effect that she had on Marvin Gaye and
mm-hmm.
the friendship they shared and how it affected him after her passing.
Oh, wow. They were like brother and sister. You know,
mm-hmm.
they, for years, we've heard rumors about them being romantically linked. But, you know, it just really was a brother and sister relationship, you know. And they were very playful with each other in the studio. They were very attentive to their work. It was just like magic with the two of them, because Berry Gordy was the one that really brought them together, you know. Matter of fact, he's the one that named her last name Terrell. Tammy came from a movie that Debbie Reynolds was in 1959 called Tammy and the Bachelor. And Tammy, that was her favorite movie. So she just took the name Tammy. That's how I just want to break that down, too. And also, a little tidbit, too, Berry Gordy, that was his favorite movie also. So he named his first label Tammy, but couldn't get the secure the rights. So he could name it Tamala. And that's how Tamala Records came, right, from that movie. But, yeah, getting back to them in the studio. Yeah, they were very good. It was a brother and sister relationship. You know, they were very close. And, you know, through the years, Marvin basically was like kind of her protector, because he knew what they was what she was going through. You know, Tammy was, you know, they say she was a fun, spirit-loving person, you know, that just basically got in the wrong relationships with men, you know. And unfortunately, you know, it goes back to a childhood, really, because Tammy was at a neighborhood party at 12, and she was raped by three boys. And that had a profound effect on her, you know, emotionally. And it carried out throughout the years, you know, because it's a psychological process, too, that, you know, some people, when you like that, I guess it just, I don't know, promiscuous comes in or whatever with some people. I don't want to, I'm not a psychologist. I don't want anybody sitting up here, you know, thinking I'm analyzing this and, you know, and dissecting this. But, you know, this is what was, you know, thought of, that Tammy had dated, you know, so many men, you know. And, but they were abusive men. And unfortunately, that's what kind of relationships that she really had, you know, until the end. But I guess we'll get to that later. You know.
Right.
But towards the end, Marvin was devastated, of course. Like I said, he was a protector, and he basically wanted to kind of guide her, but Tammy was Tammy. She was a grown woman, and, you know, and that was that. And he saw the relationship between her and David. But everything was cut hush-hush because, you know, Motown's PR, they want to keep it clean cut. So you just don't go around saying, well, okay, Tammy's got into a fight with David. She got hit upside the head with a helmet by David, you know, and such and such, you know. So it was cut down the rats, but for years, rumors have been circling, you know, that they had a very violent relationship. Yeah. So, yeah, Marvin was devastated. Marvin, towards the end, he didn't perform for like 2 years, two, 3 years.
Right.
You know, he was extremely devastated. And then he was going through the personal problems himself with his family, with his father and stuff. So, you know, it was a lot of things sandwiched between his emotions that he had to deal with. And I guess that all came out, you know, to him turning into a very serious artist. Not to say he wasn't serious, but when What's Going On came out, this was another direction Marvin wanted to take. You know, and Tammy had a big effect on his direction, musically and emotionally.
Right. Now, initially, he said he was never going to sing with anyone else again, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Well, he did. Actually, he did. Because in 1977, Marvin Gaye had an album called Marvin Live, and he had a number one song, I Got to Give It Up. And on that album, he had a lady that he traveled with called Florence Lyles. And she did the duets with him on stage. But he didn't record with her. But he just, you know, she toured with him to, you know, in tribute to Tammy. And I think he did a few Mary Wells. Cause he also duet with Mary Wells. That was his first duet. Kim Weston was another one. And then Tammy Terrell. So this lady, Florence Lyles, toured with him and did, you know, duets with him.
Oh, let's tell T. Mitch about the You're All I Need Gladys Knight conspiracy theory.
The Gladys Knight conspiracy?
Right, where, remember once Tammy Terrell was sick, and it was rumored that she wasn't the person singing the You're All I Need song?
Not true. That's her. That's
I knew that.
Tammy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I knew that. Mm-hmm. But it was a conspiracy that it was Gladys Knight.
No. No, it was Valerie Simpson from Ashley Simpson. Yeah, Valerie.
Oh.
Valerie Simpson was the one. Now, there's been, because Valerie admitted it, and then she, you know, she didn't admit it. That she did the duets with Marvin. When Tammy got sick, see, when Tammy did the song You All I Need, she was in a wheelchair.
Right.
Because she just got out of an operation.
Mm-hmm.
And she was weak.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to, you know, it's just something about performers that, you know, it's something within their spirit that when they have a job to do, it's going to come out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Tammy loved to sing. Loved to sing. Loved performing. Loved to sing. That was God's gift to her. And so they wheeled her in the studio, and as I understand, they did separate tracks. Marvin did his voice vocals, and then Tammy came in and, you know, did hers off you know, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Valerie Simpson, when she got sick, when she was too sick to return to the studio, Valerie Simpson was called in because her voice is kind of like, sort of like a clone to Tammy's, but lighter.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen
right.
to the later recordings, it's much lighter.
Right.
And Tammy's voice is a little more heavier, basically. But, I mean, they do sound similar.
They do.
And it was a terrible promotion because Marvin hated it. He hated it.
Mm-hmm.
He really hated it. He's, you know, but the Marvin and Tammy duo was so successful, they Motown wanted to keep it up. So to keep that trend going, they put Valerie Simpson. So it wasn't Gladys Knight. It was Valerie Simpson.
Mike, you really know your stuff.
Oh. Thank you.
You really do. Why are you laughing, T-Bitch?
I'm laughing because he got the name that he got, and you still you know your stuff.
Chancellor. He really does.
Oh, thank you very much.
Definitely.
Well, how
T-Bitch,
about right now?
What are you learning here?
I'm learning a lot, especially musically. Because, you know, because of my age, I didn't know anything about the early recordings and the early singles. I just, you know, like I told Q, you know, before we brought you on, Mike, You're All I Need to Get By was pretty much all I knew of Tammy Terrell. So I'm learning a lot. And we have so many songs here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know right now if there's anything you want to start us off with Mike, to help us, you know, set the vibe for the listeners so we can continue talking about Tammy.
Well, okay, we can start it off basically with the Marvin and Tammy duet, since everybody's very familiar with that. And we start off with Ain't No Mountain High, their first duet, together in the spring of 1967, actually released in May 1967, and became the hit of the summer of 67, the hot summer of 1967, as I might say.
Now, I will have to mute you guys because there's no way I can listen to that and not sing it.
Ridiculous.
I'm telling the truth, man. I cannot listen to that without singing it, and I'm into it when I sing it, so.
I don't blame you because I feel the same way.
Okay, so with the Q-Man muted, this is Ain't No Mountain High Enough, Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell on the Neo Soul Show.
You don't
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. 1967. Ain't No Mountain High. In the summer of 1967, that was Tammy and Marvin's first duet release on Tamla.
I was negative six.
Okay. Negative six. See, I've heard renditions of that, and, you know, another one that I did not know that Tammy was a part of.
Was that particular song, you mean? Ain't No Mountain High?
Yeah, that particular song. Did not know that her and Marvin had a version on that song.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. They had the version, bruh.
And that, the thing about it, what I love is the chimes at the beginning. And that was Harvey Fuqua. He was with the Moonglows in the 1950s. That was, you know, that he was the founder of the group the Moonglows that did Sincerely. And he got with Motown. Well, actually, Marvin got with Harvey Fuqua. That's how Marvin Gaye was discovered. And he was with the second generation of Moonglows. And then when the Moonglows broke up, they all came to Detroit. And Harvey Fuqua had started a label called Tri-Fi. And Marvin was on that label. So him and Gwen Gordy, Berry Gordy's sister, they got married and ran the label. So when the label didn't generate, you know, records, the only hit they really had was the Spinners, because the Spinners was on there. They had a cut called That's What Girls Are Made For. And when both, it was a Tri-Fi and the Harvey label. When both of those labels folded, then they went on the Motown umbrella. And that's how, you know, Marvin was transferred over to Motown and Harvey Fuqua, you know. So he's the one that does the background with the chimes and the bells and all of their records. And another thing I got to mention, Johnny Bristol, who did a song in 74 called Hang On In There Baby, was also a writer, you know, with Ashford and Simpson. And, you know, they were that production team of Motown, put to Marvin and Tammy.
Okay. Wow. So, I have so many questions, I'm just like trying to cipher through them, because, you know, I could go on and on about Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
But let's move back towards the end.
Okay.
And I know that they tried several times. She had several operations near the end of her life.
Yes.
And from what I can recall, it got to a point where the doctors pretty much knew that they weren't going to be able to stop whatever the issue was, but they continued. I think one of her people insisted that they continue to try and operate on her over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't want to give up on Tammy. They, you know, Tammy was a fighter, and, you know, she just, you know, but she got tired of the operations. You can get so tired and so worn out, you know. But she, it was a few attempts they wanted to do, but it was really nothing you could really do, because basically it was near towards the end. It was basically too late on her part, because the brain tumor had grown so much,
mm-hmm.
where she was having so many headaches,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, operations, and it just made her sicker and sicker, basically. So, yeah, they it was an attempt to do that, but, you know, it was so much that you can do, you know, sadly, you know, with her condition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
T. Mitch, have you seen Tammy Terrell yet?
Oh, yeah. Part of the silence that you hear in the background is because I pulled up images.
Does she remind you of Beyonce a little bit?
I would say that Beyonce reminds me of her now, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's funny you brought that up. I didn't mean to interrupt, but there's an actress out there that if they ever do a Tammy Terrell story, I always put her first name wrong, so you guys might help me with this. Taraji P. Henderson?
Oh, Taraji.
Taraji. Mm-hmm. She is a Tammy Terrell, I mean, clone, because I've seen her attitude. She's pretty. Like, and she reminds me so much of Tammy. And then I've gotten a lot of people saying the same thing. You know, they say, yeah, man, she reminds me of Tammy Terrell. I said the same thing. Mm-hmm. So if you ever do a story, she would be perfect. Because from head to toe, she reminds me of Tammy. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you on the Beyonce one. You know, yeah.
I do have a question. Well, it's not really a question. Now, I would like to know, Mike, do you remember the first time you met Tammy?
First time I heard Tammy?
Yeah, heard, met, first time you came in contact with Mr. Rowe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The first time I came in contact with Tammy, actually, I saw Tammy solo at the Apollo. I was little, though, at a show. She was by herself. She didn't get with Marvin yet. And she had a cutout. She had two Motown records. One in 65 called I Can't Believe That You Love Me.
Uh-huh.
And the second one, Come On and See Me. So she had those two records out at that time, yeah. And that was the first time I heard about Tammy Terrell. But it really didn't, you know, it came about more when she did a duet with Marvin, basically.
Uh-huh.
But that's when she really, you know, her fame skyrocketed. But, yeah, those two records I remember hearing. And the name Tammy Terrell, you know, for me hearing Tammy Terrell for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, like I said, you know, she was in magazines. She was in Soul magazine. She was in Ebony. She was in, Sepia was another sort of like... Sepia was like a magazine that Ebony and Jet had put out, you know, like a clone to both of those magazines. So she appeared in there, and there was another, like I said, Soul magazine was another one. It was like a sort of like a chronicle of what was going on with the celebrities back then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was in dozens of magazines. You know, Tammy, you know, she was everywhere at that time, especially when she got with Marvin, and her fame began to grow, you know, more and more. So, yeah, that's my encounter with Tammy. That's the first time I heard about her.
Q, if you don't mind, is it all right if I play I Can't Believe You Love Me? We can do that for Mike.
Go right ahead.
All right, this is I Can't Believe You Love Me by Tammy Terrell.
Thank you.
Love You. That was Tammy's first top 40 single on the R&B charts, basically, in 1965. This is during the time she went to the Motown. She was in the Motown. She was invited to go to the Motown Review in '66. And interesting enough, she recorded two classics. I don't know if you guys remember this song by Stevie Wonder, "All I Do."
Yes, I
do. And it was Tammy was the first to record that song.
I knew that.
I knew that. Oh my God, that is one of my favorite, if not my top favorite, Stevie Wonder song.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a beautiful song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Tammy was the first to do that. Stevie wrote that for Tammy back in 65, 66, and she recorded it. And then years later, Stevie, you know, and it's the same, it's funny with Stevie because he recorded Until You Come Back to Me in 67, and then, you know, like by 8 years later, Aretha Franklin made a number one hit out of it. You know, where Stevie's version just kind of lagged in the 40, top 40.
Mm-hmm.
Aretha took it to number one and, you know, was nominated a Grammy for. So, you know, it's amazing how the legacy of these songs can, you know, be, you know, reinvented again by other artists, you know. But I just thought I'd throw that out there, you know, that All I Do Is Think of You, that Tammy recorded that first.
I'm glad you did. I mean, that song comes on and I get like Q does when Ain't No Mountain High Enough for long.
You know, that song signifies the end of the night at the club. You know, that's always one of the last songs they play. Usually.
I don't know what club you at.
But it was a classic album, too, that Hotter in July, too, as a, you know, as a masterpiece, also.
What else you got, Q? Come on, just to be your favorite artist. I know you got some more. You got some more questions you want to ask.
Well, you know, other than the ones that I've asked, I think I know the rest.
But I know I'm very much interested in her time at Motown, because that's around a little more of what I am familiar with, and, you know, not just the songs of Marvin, but just anything and everything that was going on, you know, with her while she was, you know, recording in Hitsville.
Well, I mean, you know, she, there was like two albums that you had as a must in your collection. That's the United album. That's the first album they did. It came out in 67, that yielded four top 10 hits. First, Ain't No Mountain High. And we got to mention the B-sides, because the B-sides were also played on radio also. And it was very popular at parties. The flip side of Ain't No Mountain High was Give a Little Love. That was popular. The next release, of course, was the classic Your Precious Love that, you know, when I went to clubs, you know, back in the 80s, and it was a club down there called the Red Parrot. And when they slowed things down, they put that Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, Your Precious Love on, everybody in the room screamed. So that was like, you know, the quintessential grind song, you know. And so, yeah, that song, that was the second hit. And the flip side of that was Hold Me, Oh My Darling, which Tammy did solo first, and then Marvin dubbed his voices in there. And, of course, the one that came out the Christmas of 67 was If I Can Build My Whole World Around You, which is one of my favorites. And the flip side, If This World Were Mine.
Oh, I was looking at that. I was hoping to hear that.
Yeah, and that's the one Marvin Gaye wrote. And that's Tammy's favorite, actually. She quoted that was one of her favorites. And, of course, you know, Luther did it, you know, in the 80s afterwards, you know. But it was Luther's favorite as a teenager. Because he said he used to flip over that, you know, their version. And so, yeah, it was four, you know, it's a classic album. And then, of course, you know, we talked earlier about the All I Need to Get By album. Mm-hmm. And this is when, you know, Tammy's illness took place. And, you know, she, a couple of things she did. Marvin had to overdub his voices and they had to do it separately and so forth. But it's another classic album, you know. And it's another one up there. They did Keep On Loving Me, Honey. That's another one that's my favorite by them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was their last hit. And then, of course, the last album, Easy, was the one featured Valerie Simpson when she put her vocals on there when Tammy was too sick to come to the studio, you know.
Yes.
All right.
And of course, the last time that she sang publicly, I think, was 1969, if I remember.
What she did was she, yes and no. She came, well, there was one time Marvin appeared at the Apollo, and she was in the audience. And Marvin didn't know she was in the audience until he was in, I forgot the song he was in the middle of, but he was singing, it might have been Too Busy Thinking About My Baby. And he looked over in the audience, he saw Tammy in there, and he was just flabbergasted. So he came off the stage and came toward her, and they did a little, you know, song together for the last time, and that was Tammy's last, you know, if you want to say performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that's when the illness took place, and it was just so tragic, you know.
Yeah.
It was really tragic, and I remember hearing her passing, too. You know, it was very sad. Very sad. So, yeah, it was extremely sad, you know.
Yeah.
And in the end of her life, she found a new love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She found a new love in the end of her life, you know. And, you know, finally, it was a doctor, this guy named Ernest Garrett. And he was with her through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the one that, you know, and he had kids, and the stepkids loved Tammy. Loved
mm-hmm.
Tammy. And but you know, it's just that you know, the illness got worse and worse.
Right.
So at least at the end, she found some happiness with, you know, a gentleman that really, really loved her, and she really loved him. You know. And also, there's a book out on Tammy also by her sister.
Yes,
Luddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good book.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting book, because she wrote the book basically because there was too many rumors on Tammy that was untrue, you know, false rumors. So she wanted to set the record straight, you know, about her sister Tommy. And that's her original name. Original name was Thomasina Montgomery. That's her real name. And her nickname, they nicknamed her Tommy, because
right.
they thought Tammy was going to be a boy when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents, you know. But she was a girl, so they named her Thomasina, but they called her Tommy. You know, and her father, of course, was a preacher, you know, and so forth. And so, yeah.
Well, before we start to wrap things up, I wanted to get into a couple more songs.
Sure.
I definitely want to hear If This World Were Mine, and then
yeah,
we talk a little bit more before we end with the obvious song.
Sure.
So, this is If This World Were Mine by Tammy Terrell, Neo Soul Show.
If this world were mine, I would place at your feet all that I own. You've been so good to me. If this world were mine, I'd give you the flowers, the birds and the bees. But with your love inside me, that would be all I need. You could have anything. If this world were mine, I'd give you each day so sunny and blue. If you wanted the moonlight, I'd give you that too. If this world were mine, I'd give you anything. Long as you love.
than me.
With your cheering mouth, life is so wonderful.
Keep on loving me.
Glad I got to hear that.
Yeah, that's a masterpiece. That's a piece of B-side, yeah. Also played a lot on radio, extremely. You know, both sides would play it. If I could build my whole world around you, and they flipped it over.
Love it, love it. Q, you want to let everybody know what the trivia question is?
Yes. The trivia question comes from Sister Sweet, and if you were paying attention, you know the answer. Question was, where did Tammy get her first name from?
So let us know if you're in the chat room. Let us know in the chat room. If you're listening to the show later, hit us on Twitter at the Neo Soul Show. And we will get back to you with your $25 iTunes gift card.
You go.
So in the meantime, in between time, Q, you got anything you want to end with? Since, again, this was your favorite artist.
It is.
I see why now.
Hey, I'm just glad I got to talk to the Chancellor again, man.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Definitely agree. And we will see you again next month.
Yes. Definitely.
We will have another classic artist that we will be spotlighting.
No doubt. No doubt about that. I really enjoyed the night, you know, and especially, you know, in tribute to Tammy, you know. So this was really a great night, and thank you for having me.
Definitely, thank you. So, Q, you got anything else you wanna say before I get up out of here?
No, man, do your thing.
Well, for the Chancellor of Soul, Mike Bone, for the entire XDL staff and family, and for the hostess with the mostest, Q Man, I go by the name T Mitch. And as my uncle would say, we will be back next week where we will try to do better. Once again, for everybody listening, we thank you for tuning in. We had a great time tonight. Again, Mike, we look forward to talking to you next month on the Wednesday Rewind. And we are going to leave you all with, as Q would say, the greatest song ever. You're all I need to get by. It's Neo Soul Show. See y'all next week.
Like sweet morning dew, I took one look at you, and it was plain to see.